This episode contains content not suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Close to a year ago, there was a little girl, same age as our youngest daughter, who was pulled out of the river, unresponsive. And my husband was the first EMS responder to show up. And he was doing chest compressions on this little girl while looking into her big, beautiful eyes and asking her to, come on, baby, breathe for me. Breathe for me. The mother was off in a van, more concerned with getting an extra blanket to stay warm than the lifeless body of this little girl that was on the banks of the river being worked on by my husband. It wasn't known at the time, but later it was discovered after she had gone to the hospital and they were doing an examination upon her death that she had been savagely brutalized and raped front and back, basically torn in half. There were other details that she had contracted an STD. Those things don't go away. They stick with our agents. They stick with these guys forever. And I mean, I remember my husband coming home and just picking up our daughters and holding them, and he wouldn't put them down. And, you know, it bothered him a lot. And then learning later on the true extent of what really happened to that little girl, you know, I had heard from other local officials that her mother found out there was an investigation and she already fled back to Brazil. So it was suspected that this little girl was used as payment for her mother to cross the river. And she paid the ultimate price. She died.
My mother was the JP that pronounced that child dead. And so, of course, we immediately got a phone call from her after it was over. And she said, you know, the judge and me realized that at the time, you know, I had a job to do. She said, but the grandma and me wanted to pick that baby up and hold it.
What they don't see is what I've seen. Long time ranchers in South Texas, lifelong Texans, big burly Texans, 65, 70 years old, breaking down and weeping because they find the body of a dead Hispanic woman migrant who came to this, who were trying to seek a better way of life in America, but died in the Texas heat, or died because a coyote mistreated them, or died in the Rio Grande River. You know, talk to the law enforcement who have busted a stash house and find little girls that were getting sold into the sex trafficking trade. These are the things the American people need to actually understand and see.
Mexican drug cartels are ferrying thousands of illegal aliens and deadly drugs across Texas's southern border. As federal and state officials fail to stop the onslaught, citizens living along the border are facing horrific scenes, worsening living conditions, higher crime rates, and danger from every direction. I'm Wade Miller, Marine and Executive Director of Citizens for Renewing America, and this is Episode 3 of Exposed, Border Invasion.
Cartels have expanded to all 50 states, battling for control of the nation coast to coast.
I'm here to let you know that the invasion is real.
14,000 new migrants per day may soon surge over the southern border.
They're not afraid of the Mexican government. They're not afraid of the U.S. government for sure.
Governor Abbott, we're asking you to step up.
January 20th, 2021. Democrat Joseph R. Biden is sworn into office as the 46th president of the United States. It soon became clear that his administration had no interest in preventing illegal aliens from entering the country. Biden and his officials chose not to enforce federal immigration law and ignored effective tools that had been used by the previous administration to curtail illegal border crossings. For the 2022 federal fiscal year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported more than 2 million encounters with illegal aliens along the southern border. That's about equivalent to the population of Houston. During the 2023 fiscal year, which began in October 2022, the agency had reported more than 1 million encounters, less than halfway through the year, more than the population of Austin. December 2022 alone saw more than 250,000 encounters with illegal aliens, a higher number in 1 month than ever before recorded. However, the numbers that are more important for citizens in Texas's border towns are the numbers that can only be estimated, the gotaways. Ken Cuccinelli, former acting deputy secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, explains the risks involved with gotaways.
The gotaways are largely speculation, but if you want to get in this country and you know that you're in that rare category of person that we want to keep out, so a terrorist, criminal with a warrant that you know about, and those kinds of lists, coming from a nation where we would expect nothing but spies or where we have strong suspicions about espionage or terrorism in the case of Syria or Iran, those folks avoid the Border Patrol. When they're paying cartels and coyotes to get them across, it's not to deliver them to the Border Patrol, it's to avoid the Border Patrol. We already know that scores and scores of terrorist watch list folks have actually been caught. Those are the ones who got caught. And again, this is a population that tries not to get caught. So the worse it is in terms of accepting people coming illegally, the worse it becomes in terms of policing against the really dangerous gotaways.
Under the Biden administration, Border Patrol has counted more than 1.5 million illegal aliens as gotaways. Allison Anderson lives in Del Rio, Texas. She is a mother of three young daughters and the wife of a U.S. Border Patrol agent. Allison's family moved into Del Rio to get away from the traffic out in the country and to let her daughters grow up playing in a backyard. But this is not her reality.
We moved to have some kind of normalcy and safety, and we don't have the safety and security that we should just simply in our backyards, where I feel comfortable letting my kids go outside and play on the swing set or jump on the trampoline. It's someone has to, either my husband or I, has to be with them constantly to keep an eye on them, because we don't know who is on the property already or who is coming through the property. The individuals that are coming through our property are specifically, when not caught, those are the ones that are known as the gotaways. We have the individuals coming through that have prior criminal convictions. They're dangerous individuals that are coming through this area specifically to try to not get caught and not be apprehended by law enforcement.
These groups of illegals aren't simply walking through Allison's property. They're coming up and harassing her family.
Three groups that we know of have been up on the decks, moving furniture around, looking in the windows. Two of those groups have been up at our daughter's bedroom window, and one of those groups, we've heard, they've been caught knocking on the window, trying to lure the girls to the window at night after my husband left for work when he was working midnight still. The effect that it has on my daughter, my seven-year-old was up and heard the individuals knocking on her window. And I mean, I had to go outside armed and clear our house to make sure that there wasn't any more threats or that they were trying to break into another window, and push that threat away from our house as best as I could before law enforcement got here.
Former Val Verde County Judge Laura Allen, who lives on a ranch near Del Rio, Texas, bordering the Rio Grande River, said that everyone has to stay vigilant.
There's always been people crossing illegally. Years back, it was people looking for work. They would come up maybe to the house and want food. Now, what we see out here, it's not what you see on the news where it's, you know, 2,000 of them underneath a bridge or, you know, waiting for a bus. What we're seeing are people that are coming and they're in camouflage and they're carrying backpacks and, you know, you don't know what their intentions are. They're what we deem as the gotaways. The level of the gotaways, the amount of criminals within them has all changed significantly since this administration started.
We've been warned by Border Patrol, we've been warned by DPS, we've been warned by the Sheriff's Office, everyone. Do not confront them. They're seeing more and more that are carrying weapons.
Life has changed dramatically for everyone living in South Texas. Dale Smith is a rancher living in Uvalde, Texas, nearly 50 miles from the border.
Aside from just the dangers of working in agriculture around livestock and heavy equipment and machinery, now we have the additional risk of potentially very bad people just walking up on us out of the brush. There's a lot of different security procedures we put in place just around the house, around our families. My wife has to be very cautious when she's loading or unloading kids from the car, keeping everybody together. We're always carrying a gun. Used to, it would be, we'd carry a bolt action rifle in the truck for shooting coyotes or pigs or something. Now it's handgun, AR-15, and we're always, I mean, the rifle's in the truck and the handgun's on us all the time. All of the houses out here have been broken into at least once, so it's a dangerous situation. One of my coworkers has rolled up to a house with them in the process of getting guns out and loading guns. And he came into the house knowing that somebody had broken in, but not aware of what was actually occurring. And they're running out the back door as he's coming in the front, and there's guns falling down on the floor and shells rolling across the floor. Another couple seconds and that could have gone very differently. And it's like living in the inner city, the worst part of the inner city, 20 miles in the middle of nowhere.
According to Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin, illegal aliens are using up vital resources meant for Texans as they pass through.
Our resources are limited. I mean, we're limited on police cars and officers and so forth. And when we take our time and we're spending, you know, 30-40% of our day dealing with a bailout or, you know, trying to hunt immigrants down that came in, bailed out in the community, then that's resources we take from our citizens in our community. I mean, we're spending, you know, I don't know what the number of law enforcement hours, personnel hours that we're spending on an issue that we shouldn't be having to deal with on border crime. I mean, we have other things, and we're 68 miles from the border. You can only imagine what it's like along those border communities along the border.
Terrell County Judge Dale Carruthers says her county is large in land but small in population, leaving her community stretched to the max. This discrepancy creates real issues for county resources.
We only have one ambulance crew. So they went out and we had to notify the area count communities. So three area communities sent their ambulances to this particular crash site. The 11 illegals needed help. Some of them happened to die that day. And, you know, others had to be taken out to area hospitals. Everyone that came to help in that particular situation had to drive over an hour just to get to the incident. This depletes the resources from our respective taxpaying communities who potentially might need that ambulance.
Carruther said her county's caseload and the crime rate have skyrocketed in the past 2 years since Biden's inauguration. She explained the number of deceased illegal aliens found in her county has tripled in the past year.
I hate that my residents are living in fear. No one should live like that. It's terrible when you have to live in your business just to protect it, you know. And the ranchers having to protect themselves. I had a really good friend of mine who lives in adjacent county who had the illegals were standing in the brush and watching her. And one of them literally ran after her and she safely got to her home. She made it there. Her three little girls were inside her home and luckily she made it. But the sad part about it was she didn't realize that that was a part of a larger group. They were later apprehended by the Border Patrol.
Besides the danger associated with these gotaways, Texas ranchers also have to contend with property damage.
Okay, so they'll cut these fences to get through. Once they get through, they're trespassing on the property. We have water lines that run on top of the surface of the ground because it's so difficult to bury that. So it is on the surface. So they bust the water lines and they bust them throughout the properties. So it cost so much money to the rancher, and it's very difficult to make those repairs. And typically they're busted very, very close to a trough or a water tank, so where they could actually get water. So, you know, it's unbelievable how much damage it is. I've had a rancher in my community have his water line bust over 300 times.
Hazardous debris are also a concern as smugglers leave behind various items that could be contaminated.
Recently, the ranching community was advised not to burn or bury any of the backpacks that are left behind. And there's dozens and dozens of backpacks, even hundreds of them on some of these ranches that are left behind for fear if you burn it, potentially could be fentanyl exposure, you know, in the backpacks. But if the livestock eats any of the garbage, they can also die as well. You know, you've got to be very careful with what is out there.
For Kinney County Attorney Brent Smith, The increase in illegal border crossings means more criminals coming across and more time spent on cases involving non-county citizens.
But the numbers themselves have just exploded. For instance, my predecessor in office, I think he prosecuted around 6 cases a month on a given average. We have 3,000 people in our county. Now we're prosecuting about 500 a month. We have prosecuted more people than actually live in the county.
Smith explained that since President Biden took office, his county has seen increased violence and a shift in who is crossing illegally into Kinney County, putting Texans in danger.
There's nothing that I would have ever believed that could be like this. And the type of people coming across are vastly different now as well. They're much more violent, much more entitled. They pose much more of a danger to the community. And we're not talking about just people from Mexico. We're talking about people from over 150 different countries coming in.
As the crime rate rises in Kinney County and Mexican drug cartels solidify their stronghold along the border, even everyday tasks like driving across town can be deadly.
We had a resident, I think I mentioned it briefly a while ago, but we had a resident driving down Highway 90 through Kinney County, and a cartel operative was smuggling, being chased by DPS, and the driver, wanting to get rid of DPS behind him, took out his firearm and started shooting into oncoming traffic, striking the car of a county resident over 10 times. Obviously, she drove off the road and wrecked her vehicle, and the driver kept going, was eventually caught. But that's what we're looking at, is the ruthlessness of these cartels. They don't care about anybody else except themselves and the money they're going to make. And it's going to put Texans in danger and cost the state of Texas millions, if not billions of dollars in the long run.
Each community along the border faces a different risk level depending on where the latest hotspot for illegal border crossing is. And each community takes measures to protect citizens from high-speed car chases and bailouts where illegal aliens flee their vehicles, sometimes crashing the car in the process. In Kinney County, their local school district has constructed barricades around school buildings to protect students from bailouts.
The vehicle pursuits have gotten so bad that the school has been forced to put up military barricades around the campus. And this is to basically not allow smugglers to drive into campus evading law enforcement. You know, and the military barriers, they're huge boulders about waist high, and they're spaced far enough apart where a vehicle can't fit through them. And the entire campus is surrounded by those now.
Meanwhile, in Brooks County, about 45 miles north of McAllen, besides the bailouts and criminal trespassing, the county has the dubious distinction of recovering the most bodies, with more than 200 recovered since Biden took office. Brooks County Sheriff Benny Martinez describes the situation on the ground.
The recoveries are people that are illegal immigrants trying to come to private ranch lands, and they just don't come in. They just, the heat or the cold, and they die out there, and we have to recover them. Ideal is, let's secure the border and I won't have these sexual assault cases. I won't have all these dead bodies. I won't have these pursuits. I won't have these bodies that we're picking up with COVID. I won't have this cost to the community. I won't have my citizens in fear, right? All these little factors, because we're letting the border be open. And this is the United States, and it's United States people allowing this to happen. So it's a sad thing.
As South Texans face dangerous conditions every day on their own property, some are referring to the flood of illegal aliens as an invasion and are calling for both Biden and Texas Governor Greg Abbott to take action.
And for someone that doesn't think this is an invasion, I would welcome them to come live on the border and see for themselves. I think a rancher summed it up very well the other day. He said, we might not have bullets and bombs happen every day, but it sure feels like a war on the ground.
Although illegal aliens start their journey in Texas's border counties and towns, they don't stay in those areas for long, instead preferring to travel deeper in the country, to the heart of the United States.
What I want to explain, and I repeat over and over and over to people, is the people that are coming across, the ones that are turning themselves in, the gotaways, the whatever they are, they don't want to stay here with us. We're just the front line.
In the next episode of Exposed, Border Invasion, we'll find out just where illegal aliens are going once they leave Texas's border counties and what that means for you.
They identified the phone numbers of the cell phones at one border patrol station over one short period of time, and then spanned out to see where they went in the United States, and they found them in 434 out of 435 congressional districts. So there's no part of America that is unaffected by this.
The Exposed podcast is a production of Texas Scorecard. Texas Scorecard is the leading news source for government and culture. Go to texasscorecard.com today. This episode was written by Katie Marshall and Sydney Henry, hosted by Wade Miller, and audio engineering, editing, and production by Drew Cook.